A little while.
Nope.
It's 5 o'clock and we are live being recorded. Welcome to the April 29, 2025 San Juan Island School District Board of Directors regular monthly meeting. We do have everybody here, so there's a quorum. And I call it to order at five. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Any questions or change requests? Could I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Brian moved.
Second.
John seconded. Any discussion on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Yeah. Approved unanimously. Section 1.04, public comment. We don't usually have anybody here for public comment, but I have to read this when we do.
Do we want to do that before the band? Public comment?
Oh.
Can we?
Yeah, let's just get
can
the band.
Can we the band?
Yeah.
Let them.
We are changing.
Can we change the agenda?
Yes, yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to change the agenda, please.
Changing it to put student showcase first.
Yes, please.
Okay. Band, you're up.
All right.
Well, Andrew, well.
Small thing about the band. This is our jazz band. So we feature a different school or program at all of our meetings. And we're just so elated that they've grown so much under the direction of Mr. Hsu, who takes them on all these amazing experiences. And they just really think they're learning to love even more their instruments. So they're going to introduce themselves tonight. So you know who's here and what grade they're in and what instrument they're playing. And then, yeah, since they have a couple of tunes. So, Mr. Hsu.
My name is Steve Taylor. I am a senior. I've been with them for 3 years. I've been with them for 3 years.
I'm Flora Watt. I'm a senior. I've been with 3 years and I've been with them for 7 years.
Thanks, Flora. My name is Isaac Moore. Thank you.
On. Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to
hard.
It's going to be really boring for you guys to hang
around.
That was awesome. I was saying, you get a little band, right? There's a player in here, back there.
We need to recognize Mia next month when she graduates.
Yeah.
Unless they make it to state, they may stay. No, no. Our last meeting's after Memorial or something.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, she'll be there. Because I think that's the weekend for this.
That was awesome. Thank you.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So now we move on to public comment. So I need to reiterate our longstanding public comment rules. Comments may pertain to items on or off the agenda, but may not be critical if pertaining to the performance of an employee. Please refer those comments directly to the superintendent as per district policy. Comments will be 2 to 3 minutes and may be limited at discretion of the board chair. And a reminder, comments will be heard, but no response will be made at this time. Topics raised in public comment are not up for discussion. This meeting isn't an open public forum, which means a place meeting or meeting where ideas or views on a particular issue can be exchanged. This is a meeting for the board of directors to meet in public to discuss school district business in public, but amongst the board members. So thank you for your input in advance and respectful and thoughtful comments. So we have, are you, Michelle?
Mm-hmm. You could stand up.
Diana,
but
would
Diana
you
have to give you a mic?
Yeah. So you have to stand over there in the spotlight.
Anywhere you want.
Let's just record that. Well, my name's Michelle Loftus, and I'm piano player, and I was in stage band for 4 years during high school. So I appreciate what just happened here. That was great. I'm a business owner and a member of the community. I'm a member of the faith community. And I employ a lot of Friday Harbor High School students, usually post-graduation, but a few while they're still in high school. So I'm coming to you from a community member, a business owner, because I see some rock stars come out of Friday Harbor, you know, some really great directed kids that have gotten the basis of education and a good, healthy environment to go further. But I'll be honest with you, I've got a few that struggle. And as a business owner, I'd like to see things in our schools to promote good, solid, confident basics. You know, I need kids to learn how to count money, how to do customer service. I need them to be able to, since we own a boarding kennel and a farm, handle animals. And some of these kids are coming to me very raw. Some of these kids come to me with challenges behaviorally. And I take it and I love it because animals are a great way to teach kids how to adapt to different attitudes, things they need, messes. So I need Friday Harbor schools to succeed and be productive. So when I started hearing of some of the things come from the state level, I and others in our community have much concern about your jobs here. Your jobs have to interpret that for the good of our community. And I just plead with you to fight back when you need to. You know, I don't want to hear that it's just what the state's told us to do. We need you to be bold. We need you to be bold for protecting our children and producing good citizens of our community, our country, our county. Because maybe they'll be sitting in your seat someday. So please, please be bold. Fight back when you need to. And you will have the support of your community when you need it. And please call upon us when you do need it. And we carry you all in prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next section, Professional Educators Appreciation Week.
That's in the public comment?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Well, I don't have that whereas statement in front of me, so I'm not going to read it word for word because I didn't memorize it word for word, but I can say, you know, after being here as long as I have and, you know, at the break, leaving to watch my daughter graduate, you know, from a graduate program this week, I know the quality of the schools. Especially in comparison to where I came from, you know, when we moved here 18 or 19 years ago, whatever it was. And I think it has a lot to do with staff. I wish I could say it's all about leadership, but the truth is that's only a part of the team. The truth is that we do from bus stop to bus stop, all those things in between, you know, teachers. I read a thing by Bill Gates in 2008, and it said no matter how much money is given, the most crucial part of any equation in education is the quality of the teacher. I absolutely believe that. The teacher is the central part of everything. But in today's world, you know, what the paraeducators do, what the cook does, how the office personnel works with the people who come into the office, the whole culture that you're trying to create counselors and custodians and how they relate to students. Because one thing that is different here on this island is our kids talk to adults better than they do off island. And I think it's a lot has to do with because when we go to school, we're also shopping in the same store, eating in the same restaurant right after that. So they learn that, which gives them a leg up when they leave, if they happen to leave the island. But I also think that our staff understands that and builds the type of relationship, or at least attempts to build the type of relationship with all students that are meaningful. And that's what I appreciate about this staff. And so when it comes to Professional Educator Week next week, I could read the governor's whereas statements, and there's 7 or 8 of them. But the more heartfelt thing to me is that I'm proud to be here because I know what we have in our staff. It's just flat good. And the only problem with my nice little speech is not one staff member is here to listen to it. So maybe we'll send them a recording. No, it's just from top to bottom. I can't tell you how proud I am of what we have in our staff. And I could give you a lot of other little examples, but I need to stop there because I think I'm going to end up talking next too, aren't I?
Yes. Yeah.
So I just keep going.
I'm just going to look over Sarah.
I wanted to say something.
Okay, you can say something.
You stole my word.
Okay.
All we can say is a heartfelt thank you to all of our educators. They are so good, and we are so blessed to have them here on this island, and that they stuck around and didn't leave when things were tough. So just a thank you to all of them. And if you guys, Rod and Holly and Andrea, if you guys would make sure they know that, we're very proud of them. Okay, now you can talk to them.
Because we're going on to the next section.
Yes, superintendent report.
But from the back, I've been scolded by our ELC, our Early Learning Center director and teacher, that I did not include the pre-K program that we started this year, which I'm very proud of. It is a pretty major program. And I'm going to make sure everybody hears it. I know the board has heard it several times. Part of it, to me, that ELC program was to give our kids a leg up when they move into kindergarten by third grade scores. But the bigger one was, you know what? To live on this island, it takes 2 jobs. And we wanted to do everything we could to give people a chance to have their kids somewhere so they can actually work too, because everybody wants to live on the island. So it's been just a boon. And I let me make this part of my student, my report. Becky met with some people today, and they go through this process because we can't put everybody in it. But they filled up TK and sent out invites today, and they're going to have another full day for TK, and then also going to have a full day for the developmental pre-kindergarten. So it's going to have 2 full day programs with 30 kids in that ELC down there. And with Head Start going away last year, it's been a boon. And we were lucky because the state capped it kept, nobody can have any more TTK programs in the state. Only those up to the 24-25 level. We just slid in right before they cut that funding off. We got it. So we're excited about that continuing next year. It's fun to watch. I couldn't do the job. I personally couldn't do TK. I'm impressed with anybody that can. I secondary teacher. That's all I can tell you. Quickly, Rod, I think that you and I are going to have to up our game as far as middle school and Griffin Bay School and our student showcase, because she brings cute kids singing songs, and then she brings a jazz band, and then you and I just talk.
Yes, so.
That's true. You had a student with a magic trick. Yep. The 3 things I want you guys to know as far as student report tomorrow, the bids come in on the rebid of the secondary school. We had to rescope it down to just the high school. The bid is in tomorrow. We do think we'll have at least 3 bids. We believe they're going to be more than acceptable. We were almost ready to go with a bid for the entire secondary campus, even though it was a little scary financially, but the one that would have won backed out. So we scaled it back down, went back out. Bids are in tomorrow. That means when we get the calendar day, I'll probably have to ask that we get a really a 5-minute meeting potentially sometime next week. It would be because I need you to formally accept, and we can go forward with the contract on the winning day. I don't know the exact day. We may not be able to figure out the exact day today, but we could have Diana help us reach out to everybody and schedule that. I'm going to send to you individually the report from the risk management for you, just for you to review on the agreement we're trying to have with the fire district on placing the building on Stewart. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of concerns, not that we wouldn't be able to do it. We're going to get that building on there. We just wanted to make sure that everything was clear in writing and nothing comes back on the school. So you guys can take a look at that. And then I've asked Fire Chief Noel to come back in the May meeting and just talk to us about it and see if we've got those little details worked out on that agreement so they can get to their building of that on our property out there. And then I know, I don't know how much was they going to talk about it, but there's a little bit, you know, we had the close of session, yes, what do they call that? Sine die, right?
Yep.
Close of session. And even though there might be a lot of things I'm looking at, even though I don't care for Excel, I'm looking at any Excel sheet that will tell me numbers. And there really isn't a place to say what increase in allocation, especially when the governor hasn't signed off on anything. And you might talk about it a little bit tonight too. Yeah, we've run some preliminary numbers on maybe some increased allocation, but they are just preliminary. I will say the one thing I am happy with is that the state took off the cap on special education, period. That's to me just a moral thing. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. If it's a mandate, state and federal mandate to serve special education students, then you need to fund it, period. And they took that cap off. Now, that's not going to mean a ton of money to us, but remember, we've been spending as much as $700,000 out of Gen Ed just to pay for special education services. So there's some other funding. It's still going to be a little bit of a gap, but it does make sense. And there's some other things that could add up, but it would be foolish of me to give you a figure now because they're all just quickly taking a look at what we think came out of Saturday's close, and we're waiting on the governor to do what he does. So you'll probably have more detail later.
A little more, not much.
Okay. That's all I really have at this point. Yeah,
thanks. So report on the state of special ed, Dr. L.
I'd already kind of reported.
Good, huh?
Thank you. Yeah.
Hmm.
I made it really short this time.
You're welcome.
What I wanted to point out this year, we have approximately, I still have my assistant Aileen. You've met her before a little bit. This year, we have approximately 40 staff serving special education in whole or in part. That's up from 38. So we have grown in number of staff. They're not all employees. Four of them are contract staff, like our school psych, our PT, our pediatrician, people like that. What I wanted to point out, though, is the change in paraeducator numbers and teacher numbers over time. And I put 26 in there as well for a projection for next year. So our paraeducators, we've increased paraeducators over the last 3 years, partly in response to opening a developmental preschool, partly in response to, we have tried really hard to include our special ed students in the general ed setting. That's our inclusionary practice. And in order to do so, we need a para oftentimes to go into the general ed setting with the students. That's why the state came back and started funding those, the students that are in general ed 80% or more of the time, a little bit more, right? So you've been talking about what's that fund going to be next year? I haven't seen the exact number, have you? 1.16 or something like that. So they're talking about increasing that. But that was primarily in response to inclusionary practices are more expensive because you need more staff to serve the students in the general ed setting. So our paraeducators have increased. We plan to decrease that a little bit next year for two reasons. One, we maybe have a one-on-one student moving, right? And two, because we want to increase the SPED teacher number to 6.8. Part of that is also in response to, and the next slide will show you why, where the students are, what buildings they're in next year. So if you go to the next slide.
Hey, Becky, before you go on, wouldn't you say kind of, not necessarily in response to what Michelle said, Dr. Lopez said, but also that since COVID, that we've seen some different behaviors that were maybe not 10, 15 years ago, and we've had to address that with even more staff to try to work with those.
Really students. Good point, Fred. One thing we've seen is an increase in students qualifying for social emotional behavioral category. So all the students across the board. So we might have a student with a specific learning disability that also requires social emotional behavioral supports. We have, I don't have the exact number, about half of our special education students receive at least some social emotional supports. So yes, after COVID, we saw this dramatic increase in the need for responding to social emotional needs. So our paraeducators and our special ed teachers are doing a lot of that work behind the scenes, doing social skills lessons, incorporating the school counselors, increasing our mental health grant. So we've done a lot of different pieces to support the kids in increasing their social, emotional, and behavioral skills. So good question. Special ed students, now as you see month to month, we have different numbers, right? About 144 kids. In special education programs. This shows what schools they were in over time. And I wanted to show you this because this is the shift that we're talking about. So in 21-20, look at the percentages too. We stay around the 17% mark over time. That's been consistently, any given day, it might be 17%, it might be 17.8, but any given month. But so the data points I took were, I think, today for the 24-25, I grabbed it this moment. So Jose's might be a little different because he's doing a count date, but that's approximately the percentage of kids in our school district that have an IEP and are in special education programs. This shows what school they're in. So the elementary back in 21-22 had the bulk of our special education students. That's gone down over time. The middle school this year went down compared to last year, but look at next year. They're going dramatically down. But look at the high school next year. They're going dramatically up. So you see over time, the kids are in different buildings and different programs. Griffin Bay went dramatically up this year, and it's looking like it's going up a little bit more next year, which is why we want to have special ed staff in our Griffin Bay program. We have about 40% of our Griffin Bay students have an IEP. So this is showing the ebb and flow, and it's really complicated to try to have one special ed teacher serve middle school and high school and then run over to Griffin Bay. So we're trying to respond and put staff in the spaces that they're needed. This is private and homeschool students. We serve them too. In order for homeschool students to receive services, they need to enroll partially in our school district. We do not have an obligation to serve homeschool. We have an obligation to test them for special ed, so they must enroll partially. So our homeschool students are enrolled partially in our school district to receive special ed services. Private school students, we have an obligation to serve. We serve every student on our island. So that would like services. And pre-K, TK, you see this kind of bump. We were looking at that. That's Head Start. When Head Start started closing down, we started seeing a bump in special ed needs. So we had 10 in 23-24, and then we opened our developmental preschool. And then this year, we had TTK, and we're starting to see the numbers go down. I'd be interested in looking over time to see if those numbers stay down, because now we have a good, robust intervention program at the early childhood level. We'll see, right? We're so small that some of the end sizes it could just be an anomaly too. So that's where the kids are and where they're showing up. And the next slide just says, here's what our next steps are in special education. So MTSS, you've heard me talk about it. The schools have heard us talk about it. MTSS really is a framework for intervention, but it also supports special education because it helps us identify the needs, who might have a disability needing special instructions. So we're still rolling out MTSS. It's a work in progress. By 2028, that's how we have to identify our specific learning disability students. Right now, we do a discrepancy between IQ and achievement, 2 standard deviations, helps us decide. Can't do that anymore. We're going to have to, by 2028, we're going to have to look at interventions and how the students grew based on the interventions we provided. So that's why it's so important to special ed. Behavior intervention support. So Holly just got trained to be a trainer in our district for safety care, along with Tara Holmgren. So we're really interested in getting more people trained to be trainers and training staff. So having two people at the elementary that can train the staff on safety care, that will help increase that social, emotional, and behavioral supports. Inclusionary practices, as I was talking about, we like our special education students to be in their regular classes as much as possible and providing the supports for them to do that. Appropriate evaluation, so having a contract school, psych, is tricky, right? So we're trying really hard to recruit a school psych that will be ours on site. We love our school psych that's on contract, but she doesn't live here, right? So she's not here all the time. She's having to do a lot of remote work for us. Early intervention programs, it's looking like we're seeing a lot of success with that. I'll love to hear from the kindergarten teachers next year. And we got a lot of interest this year too. So we're really excited about that. And transitional programs, that's really the high school transitional program. So what happens is when a student in special education turns 16, we have to have job skill development for them, give them practice, so they're as ready as we can help them be for the next step. It's difficult, of course, to hand kids off to the next step, right? Sometimes we only have so many years with them. But all the high school students that are 16 or over that have an IEP have embedded a transition plan within their IEP. That transition plan outlines things they're going to work on so that they'll be more prepared. We also have job placement. So we have special ed students right now that have jobs, for example, in our early childhood program and receiving skills and practice in that program, learning how to wash dishes. And through a partnership with our ESD 189 and VOC services, they actually get paid. So we have a paid employee, if you will, working in our program, getting the job skills for the next step in her life. So it's pretty amazing all the partnerships we have to help us do that. And then the next slide says questions, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So if you have any questions, that's my quick
summary. Do we have ELC on Student Showcase in May?
I think we're going to do that in May. Yep.
Okay.
And then you'll hear more detail about our ELC, which of course we're really, really proud of. So we can, by then we'll have identified hopefully all of our students that are participating, and we can tell you more about what we've done community-wide in the early learning.
Are you going to bring in kids and sing too and make the rest of us look bad about it?
We just might bring them all.
Yeah.
Because they're really cute. Really, really cute. Yeah. Anyway.
So what percentage of our kids are in gen ed population most of the time?
About 80% of our students are in gen ed 80% or more of the time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's really my target, 80% or more of our students. Fascinating, we were interviewing for a school psychologist today, and she could not believe that we didn't have a self-contained program. And I said, our culture is so a culture of belonging. We really want our students to be students first and not be outside in some program all by themselves. That's not what we do here. We really push hard to support them to be with their peers. If they can grow and be successful that way. But yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anybody else have a question?
Okay.
You're awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. On to the consent agenda. First, we accept with gratitude donations from band families and friends for $1,000 for a band trip to Central Washington University. I think that already happened, didn't it? Mm-hmm. No?
Next week.
Is it jazz band or? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So these guys. Mm-hmm. Is this all of them or was that just a few of them?
All of Vera.
All of Vera.
Okay.
Why Vera's not here tonight?
Okay. So. Yeah. Now, can I have a motion to approve the rest of the consent agenda?
I so move.
John moved.
Second.
Second by TJ. Had the look.
I feel better.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Aye. Aye. Unanimous again. Jose, you're up.
Once the governor signed,
when do we have to have a final budget in the OSPF?
We know in July.
July.
So
yeah.
We're going to have a clear budget before then, and we'll adopt it for that year.
Okay. Thank you.
I have some questions. It's kind of off the budget just a little bit. Thank you for the work on this. But do you think it might be worthwhile talking to the board about the queue rollover in August or something like that, just to let them know where we are, because it's going to happen fast and furious. No one will know how much that's pain that's going to cause.
So I want to see the guys, and also the finance guys.
It's a process. It's a little scary, but I mean, we have to do it. We have to do it, but it's going to be quite a process to get through. Thank you, Jose.
Thank you. Next up, approval of resolution 24.03, educational program reduction of certificated position. But I know you all read it, as you always do. So could I have a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Brian moved.
Second.
John seconded. Melanie seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Unanimous. Section 4.05, approval of resolution 24-005, surplus items. I looked at some of them. I have absolutely no idea what they are. Very specialized, probably very obsolete. Could I have a motion to approve this resolution?
I so move.
John moved.
Second.
DJ seconded. Any discussion on it? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Unanimous. Approval of resolution 25-004 WIAA. This is the annual acceptance of participation. And poor Melanie thought this was all she was ever going to have to do. And then she went, oh, I'm still in the last one. So, could I have a motion to approve this resolution? It's something we have to do every year. I moved with this. Melanie moved.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll second it then.
John seconded. Any discussion on it? All in favor?
Aye. Yes. Yes.
Aye. Unanimous again. Director reports. Brian?
I have nothing.
Okay, Melanie? Mm-hmm.
I do have something from the WIA. So there were 16 amendments proposed this year. Of those, 7 were approved and will go into effect for the 2025-2026 school year. I just wanted to highlight 2 of those that were approved. For the first time since 1999, the WIA has sanctioned a new sport. It is girls flag football for those schools and districts that choose to offer that. It will be officially sanctioned as of August 1st. So that's exciting. The second one is in regards to transfer students. So in the past, students had to previously sit out a whole season if they transferred to a school and previously played that sport at their previous school. Now there is a new rule allowing for 40% of participation in that same sport at their new school. So this is a good thing. It allows students to move and participate in the sport at least partially the following year. If they transfer and play a sport they have never played before, they are eligible for 100% of the competitions in that new sport they have not played before. Oh, so both 40% of the allowable competitions, and each allowable competition for each sport is unique by sport, but
so many games,
so many competitions, matches, track meets, whatever the sport identifies as a competition. If you want more information on all 16 amendments, they are available on the WIA website under Amendment Results 2025.
John, you have something?
I don't, actually.
I don't either, but we know TJ has lots. No,
I'm going to try and keep it within 3 minutes.
Okay.
Summary. So the legislative session ended. Having followed everything, if you're not familiar with how things work down in Olympia, basically when all these bills first start out, they have to get off the floor of origination. So if a Senate bill starts there, they have to approve it, goes to the House. House then has to approve it back. Before you can forward it on to the governor, the House and the Senate, the language has to be the same. So if the House sends a bill back and says, we want to change this line, the Senate then has to either agree to that or they send it back with their change. And this goes back and forth. Apparently, there's a lot of horse trading. And the reason I bring that up is a lot of the bills that we've been following for the big three, which is transportation, which nothing happened, special education and MSOC materials, supplies, and other costs, which is how we keep the lights on. There were some bills that passed through everything that looks like it's going to help our district and others in the state. The MSOC bill, the House had a striking amendment at the very end that lowered the additional money that we're going to be getting to an additional $35.27 per student in grades 9 through 12 increases to another $469. So it's not enough. It's not what we were looking for MSOC cost. I'm looking at Jose because I know that we're still going to be spending our own money to fill that cost, but it's a start. And that means we can go back to the next legislative session and continue our efforts to try and beef that up. Special education was another one. Started out, it looked like we were going to get a lot of money per student. What happened was, again, the House basically dug in their heels and said, we don't want all of this money being spent on special education for whatever reason. They all agree it's important, but they don't want to spend money on it. So the two things that came out of the special ed bill, which Fred already mentioned, the 16% cap has been eliminated or will be eliminated, which is good. So that means that our district, Lopez, Orcas, basically if you have special eds, they have IEPs. Hopefully I said that right, Dr. Bell. Thank you. Hopefully every student that has an IEP, then the state will actually pay for, which is a good thing for education. It's well needed. The actual multiplier that's used, so again, parroting what Dr. Bell mentioned, when we put our special ed students in the main classroom for 80% of the day, there's a multiplier associated with that. So additional money comes for those students. The multiplier, I believe, is now 1.16 is what we're looking at in the future. It used to be there were two separate ranges for that. We now have one, which is good. So bottom line is our district and other districts in the state are getting additional monies. It was a battle. There's still a lot of discussion. We're still trying to figure out what exactly this means for all of us. But bottom line is we should be seeing additional money. We will go back and talk to our legislators again and see what we can do going forward. So if you have thoughts on the matter and you'd like to reach out to me or Fred, we'd be happy to hear your feedback.
Good job. I think it was less than three.
Was it?
I think
that's
so.
Nice. That was, I mean,
good job.
That was less than three.
I think so.
Was
I wasn't
going longer.
I wasn't
you
under.
You
no, it was very good because you're kind of long-winded sometimes.
That's pretty good coming from someone who I recognized me earlier.
Section 5.03, review of the calendar.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that, again, I can't say, well, we can make a date. Is noon, is it possible at noon any time with you, Brian and Mel?
Depends on the day.
Depends on the day.
Friday.
We can do it later in the day too, if that works. I was thinking Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday is what I was hoping for, because we want, if we can get the bid Wednesday and we can go through a process to vet it, and we choose one, we can agree on it and get it back to them and then start making plans for the summer. So I was trying to get it back to the company that we agreed to it.
Yeah, and it only takes a few minutes.
That's a one item, board agenda, and that is for me to put it in front of you and you formally. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give me a little bit of time, and I'm sure I can find something.
Then we can even have him call in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brian, you probably can call in.
I can do 12:15 any day but Wednesday.
Is 12:15 Tuesday available, Diana?
I'm not available Tuesday.
You're not available Tuesday, so it's not available.
Never mind.
Never mind.
I'll be on Wednesday for golf.
Okay.
I was going to say we could take it to the golf course.
Come to the golf course.
Monday or Thursday.
Just have it at the golf course.
Thursday.
I'll find a golf course.
Is it Monday or Thursday? Last Monday, yesterday.
Well, we come out this coming Monday?
Yes.
I can't do Monday.
Can you do the following Thursday?
I can be here Thursday. I can actually be here Thursday.
May 8th?
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
Okay, so instead of figuring this out now, I'm going to have Diana kind of call each of you and work out a time. And it may not be that we have to do it right away. It's my own anxiety about wanting to follow through on what we said we were going to do with that money and get that done this summer. And I don't want to put off any more time on it. So she will get with you. They'll know they've won the bid. I'm sure they're going to start preparing, but we have to formalize it with an agreement. So Diana will reach out to all of you and find a time next week, if possible, or the following Monday, as soon as we can.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And again, one item agenda.
Oh.
And that's it.
Anybody have anything else? Mm-hmm. I call this meeting adjourned at 5:00. You're out of here by 6:00.